Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Grider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Grider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com. And for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio host and Bible teacher. One of the most requested topics over the years has always been the free-ranging, open-forum style of Bible study, where instead of having a set agenda to cover, we take your questions live on the air. Tonight is one of those nights, and we will be discussing anything and everything related to Bible prophecy, rightly dividing dispensations, and good old-fashioned Bible doctrine. On this episode of Rightly Dividing, you are invited to join us for a wild 90-minute open forum King James Bible study where the main topic will be the questions that have been raised in your own personal time of Bible study and scriptural devotions. This is not Stump the Preacher, as that simply devolves into worldly entertainment, and we wouldn't want to waste your precious time doing that. But bring your questions about Bible doctrine in any dispensation, and together we'll open our Bibles and see what the Word of God has to say about it. If you have a Bible question, we invite you to join our online NTEB community, to post your question, and we'll do our best to answer it live on the air. This is part two in a series. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father God, for all these that you've gathered live in the chat room and for the thousands more that will listen to this program in the archives. And we pray, God, that you would give us a blessing. We pray, God, that you would work and move in a mighty way as only you can. And Lord, we come before you tonight, and we're a needy people, and we need to hear from you. And we have a lot of prayer requests tonight, Lord, and we ask you to open your ears and open your arms to your children that you've redeemed with your own shed blood. And help us, Father God. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Glad that you're here. Wednesday night, our Rightly Dividing Bible study. And part two of questions and answers. It went really, really well last week, Sunday it was. And so we're doing it again. And I still have some questions from last time. I wrote them all down. And if you have something that has been a burning desire for you to want to understand about the Bible, just post your question in the chat room and I'll pick it up. And time permitting, we will take a shot at answering your question. I'm very, very glad that you're all here tonight. Let's get started with a little bit of music to set the mood and to set the tone. This song is called I Love That Man in the Middle. Dr. Ruckman used to say, three in one and one in three, and the one in the middle died for me. Amen.
First loved me,
died on Mount Calvary. Amen. Impossible that I go through.
A hill called Golgotha.
In bloom,
the sin was done. Three crosses stood black and bold against the darkened sky. It was not from pain,
amen,
but a broken heart that made old man die. I love that man in the middle, because I know that he first loved me. Praise to the man who died on Mount Calvary. The middle man made possible that I might.
Amen. I love that man in the middle. How about you? We keep it nice and simple here at Now the End Begins. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's not hard. In fact, God has made it very, very easy. If you want to get saved, you can get saved just as easily as the Philippian jailer. In Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." That's really pretty easy to do. Tonight, we're talking about your questions that you have about the Bible, about Bible doctrine. I was talking with Michael after the program on Sunday, and he said he was very glad to hear us talking about the two witnesses. And he had some questions about the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11, and we talked about that, and that really went a long way towards answering those questions for him. So tonight, if there's anything that you've always wanted to know about, Lola just posted in the chat room, "Please explain Acts chapter 19, verses 2 through 6. You teach that tongues are not for the church age, or... so I thought I've heard this here before." And you have heard that here before, that the apostolic gifts are not for the church age because we don't have any apostles. But I will be talking about that. I will do my best to give you a detailed and satisfactory answer to that question. We live in the age of grace. Signs, miracles, and wonders are not for the church. And the Bible says that after we leave in the pre-tribulation rapture, it's going to be Satan who's going to come in with signs, miracles, and wonders, and he's going to deceive the very elect, that's the Jewish people, if it were possible. And that's why God seals his 144,000 male Jewish virgin servants. Revelation chapter 20 tells us that they're virgins, and they follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And we know that they're Jewish because they're from the 12 tribes of Israel. And that's how we know that the Jehovah's Witnesses are not the 144,000. And we're going to be looking at these questions tonight. And we have a ton of prayer requests. If you have a prayer request, please post it into the chat room. And if you're listening to this program and maybe you say, "Well, I went to your website and I couldn't find that chat room," we've made it really easy for you to find the chat room. All you have to do is go to ntebradio.com. That is ntebradio.com. And do you know where that web address takes you? That takes you to the chat room. It really doesn't get any easier than that. If you want to join the chat room, join the hundreds of people who are chatting, just go to NTEB, Nancy Thomas Edward Baker Radio.com, and you'll be where we are. And we'll be happy to have you. We're going to be getting started in just a couple of minutes tonight. We're having a question and answer open forum Bible study. And when we did this on Sunday night, it was when we were done, I felt like I had been on a roller coaster ride at the amusement park. I was tired. I was tired, but in a very good way. And it was a real blessing for me. And so many of you have gotten back to me to say it was a real blessing for you as well. And tonight we're going to do it again. Glad you're here. When you hear the words to this song, just think of it like you're singing it to Jesus.
When I am down and oh my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I'm on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be.
Whenever I hear that song, whenever I hear the words, I always think, Jesus, he lifts me up. He raises me up. He lifts me out of the miry clay. He lifts me out of the pit. And he cleans me up. And he conforms me to his image. And one day he's going to lift us up into the clouds. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You know where I'm going. This is some of our favorite verses. Comforting verses. Denise in the chat room posted that she's getting a little bit discouraged. She knows four people that died today of COVID. That is discouraging. No question about it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4, starting in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I said all that to say this, wherefore comfort one another with these words. We live in troublesome times. A lot of people are struggling right now. COVID is impacting everybody on every level. The Apostle Paul says we are to comfort each other with the words that those who die and go on before us, we're going to be reunited with them in the clouds when the pre-tribulation rapture of the church happens. And that's not a cold comfort. That's not a consolation prize. That's real comfort. This life is not the end. If you're saved today, this life is just the beginning. And this world is all of hell that you're ever going to see. But if you're lost today, you're getting ready to face the second death, which is very bad. And this world is all of heaven that you'll ever know. That's heartbreaking. If you're a listener to this program, Michael told me after we spoke last week when he got saved on the Friday podcast, when we were talking on the phone later, he told me that he had been listening, kind of like a stealth listener, for about a year. And I'm glad he told me that, because that's backed up something that I always have believed, that there are a lot of people who listen to this program who don't ever chat in the chat room, and they listen and they consider the scripture and they hear everything that goes on, and God is dealing with them. And that's how people get saved for real. Not just making an emotional decision, say this prayer and you'll go to heaven. That's not salvation. Salvation is when God begins to deal with you and you understand that hell is a real place and that you deserve to go there. And that Jesus took your place and he paid for your ticket out of that place, of which there is no escape. There is no... If you wake up and you find yourself in hell, you'll never get out. You'll never have another second of comfort. In Luke chapter 16, when that rich man, he hit the dirt and his soul went down, the very first thing that we read about that rich man, and in torment, he lifted up his eyes and he asked for a drop of water. Can you imagine going? I think about these Hollywood celebrities sometimes, and I think about how they have a life where everything is handed to them. I'm not saying that they don't work hard, but when a movie star hits it big, they hit it really, really big. You read about Johnny Depp and how he spent $500 million just on houses and wine and riotous living, and $500 million. And he spent it in, like, I don't know, 10 years, 20 years. I've often wondered what it would really be like for somebody who was rich and famous and used to the adulation of other human beings and living in, you know, Joel Osteen lives in a 24,000 square foot house. Can you imagine what it would be like for Joel Osteen to die and open up his eyes in hell? Pray for his salvation. But can you imagine what it would be like for somebody like Joel Osteen, who lives in a $24,000 mansion, a square foot mansion, to go from that to all he wants is to be out of the torment and to have one drop of water? And what did Abraham say to the rich man when the rich man made a very simple request? He wasn't asking for caviar. He wasn't asking for honeycombs and broiled fish like what Jesus was cooking up after his resurrection. He said this in Luke 16:24, and he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me," not in hell, "and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." The rich man was used to having servants. And even here, he still looked on Lazarus as somebody akin to a servant to him. But what did Abraham say in verse 25? But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." If you're not saved, when you die, that's where you go. You go to the Luke 16:19 literal, visible, burning, flame-filled hell. Now, we don't want you to go there. We will do everything in our power to warn you and to help you to make the right decision and to see that Jesus Christ is exactly who he says he is. And who does he say he is? He says he's the Alpha, the Omega. He says that he's the first and the last, and he's the beginning and the end. He says that he is the door, that if you walk in that door, you'll go in and out and you'll find pasture. He says he's the good shepherd. He says he's the Messiah. He says he's the savior of the world. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself." And what do we do here? We lift Jesus Christ up. We don't have any Greek and Hebrew scholars here. We don't have any higher education. All we have is a bunch of Bible believers who have a King James Bible, read it and believe it. It's pretty simple. The whole operation that we have is pretty simple. Salvation is simple. If you want to go to heaven, trust Jesus Christ. If you want to go to hell, trust anything else. Because anything that's not Jesus Christ is going to take you to hell. And we don't want you to go there. People get mad because I say things like, "I wouldn't even want Adolf Hitler to go to hell." And people get mad and they say, "Don't you know that he killed all those people, 6 million Jews and 6 million Gentiles? And he started a war that killed 55 million people. And don't you know how evil he was?" I've been studying Nazi Germany since I was 14 years old. My dad served in World War II. I'm very familiar with what a nasty man Adolf Hitler was. But I'm more familiar with what the Bible has to say about hell, where the flame of the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. You know, even if God gave Adolf Hitler 100 years in hell for every one of the 55 million people that were killed because of his actions, I want you to think about this now. If God gave Adolf Hitler 100 years in hell because of the 100 years for each of the lives, the 55 million people that died in World War II. So that's 55 million times 100. And do you realize that whatever that number is, that number that is so big my calculator couldn't even do it, one day that number is going to come to an end, but hell never does. And when God allowed me to see the real horror of what hell really is, I wouldn't wish that on Charles Manson, Jeffrey Dahmer, Adolf Hitler, Stalin. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. And you shouldn't either. But if you're saved, like Michael got saved last week, he put his trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Guess where he's not going? He's not going to hell.
In sin I was living, no thought was I giving of dying and where I would go. I was looking and buying, so hard was I trying to gain all this world had to hold. No peace and no pleasure could I even measure with all that I had to gain. I repented and prayed, Christ save me that day. Now I have got something to say. I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell.
Now my life's worth living. Since I've been forgiven, Christ made a real change in me. I'm no longer crying when I think about dying, 'cause heaven is waiting for me. Now Satan's still lying, he's always trying to lead you down the wrong way. Just call on Christ's name, he'll save you today. Then look back to Satan and say,
I'm not going to hell. I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well.
How about you?
I'm not going to hell.
Where are you
no,
going?
I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell.
Because
I met the Savior, what a story I tell. I'm saved and forgiven, set free, all is well. I'm not going to hell. No, I'm not going to hell. Because I'm saved by His power divine.
Yes, I'm saved.
I'm saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved. And I'm not going to
saved and I'm not going to hell. If you're saved, that's one thing. Get it settled now. The Bible says that whoso, if you'll confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Simple, 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 simple. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing. We ask you, Father God, to meet with us here tonight. So many prayer requests, Lord. Carrie says, please pray for my brother Ian in the hospital with severe pain in the hallway because there's no more rooms available in Northern California. Chris says, please pray for a possible apartment becoming available this month in Florida. Florida seems to be the place to be. Everybody wants to move here. And Chris lives in New York City and he wants out. Finn Capistrano says, please pray for the Lighthouse Bible Baptist Church in Manila, Philippines, to open their eyes to the truth about the harms of the vaccine. So we're going to pray for the Lighthouse Bible Baptist Church in Manila. Ron Wooter, prayer needed for all believers these days. Demonic forces are trying to blind us to the truth. Please pray for believers everywhere. Amen. Amen. Sherry says, prayer warriors, praise report. Grandma Joyce is home from the hospital and doing good, but her husband Cleo went to the ER today. He has blood clots and isn't doing well. Could you please pray for Cleo tonight? He's such a sweetheart. Thank you. Patty says, I have a friend that has a friend named Earl in need of a job. He's asking for prayer. I told my friend that we would all pray. Amen. Mike Hensel says, please continue to pray so that my mom and my sister will get saved just like I did and my leg will continue to get stronger. Amen. Tina says, prayer request for my best friend Maria. She's having postpartum depression and for my family salvation. Donna Lynn says, praise report, my son's girlfriend Jasmine got saved on Monday. And it was a joint effort between me and Jeanette. Amen. Amen. Everybody gets involved here at Now the End Begins. Everybody's a soul winner because that's what we're called to do. You don't have to be a scholar to be a soul winner. You just have to be saved and have a King James Bible and believe it. And we rejoice for Jasmine who got saved. Phyllis says, prayers because I spoke strongly to my unsaved sister about hell, hardening her heart, and to have an open mind that Jesus is real. Amen. Gary says, praise report. My friend and coworker who was in the trauma unit for 3 weeks is finally coming home. Thank you for your prayers. Please keep praying for her full recovery. Denise says, and I mentioned this earlier, NTEB family, I am honestly a bit discouraged. I know 4 people who died today of COVID. That is heartbreaking. And if Karen is in the chat room, please give us an update about Beth. And we are praying for Beth to beat COVID as well. Jeanette says, continue prayers for my mom. She did not get to come home today. She was a little confused, but much better with that today and had other problems. So she says, I'm praying she will get to come home tomorrow, and please pray that she does not have a stroke. Amen. Pamela says, pray for my brother. He is still sick, and I have an unspoken prayer request. Thank you. Karen says, prayers for my mother and me. Prayers for my mother. As me and my sister are doing a 3-way conference call Bible study on Proverbs each night at 9 p.m., except for Wednesday and Sunday, of course. Pray that God gives her ears and eyes to understand his word. She is a new baby in Christ. And amen, Karen. That is great that you're taking the initiative and your sister are having Bible study with your mom. That's exactly how it works. When Philip asked the Ethiopian eunuch, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I except there be some man to guide me? That is the New Testament church age biblical prescription for Bible study. Nat says, please include Nick on your prayer request list, having issues with head and ears due to the altitude where he lives. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Also, pray for Nat. She is not feeling well. Terry says, please pray for my niece with COVID and my cousin who had COVID, got better, and now has the Delta variant with pneumonia. She is in ICU as of today. Angel says, prayers for my mother Rosemary to be saved and healed from a fall after she took the J&J shot. An unsaved Catholic family members as well. KJV Believer says, my prayer request is for all of the unsaved people in the world today. The rapture is right around the corner. And despite prayers for living bodies and illness, the souls of the lost people are who is most important to Jesus. And there is a lot of truth in that. And we are called to go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that his house may be full. Lori says, we have a few praise reports as well. Praise God. Amen. Dustin says, my prayer request is for all lost people to be saved. Amen. Mike 16:11, pray for my best friend slowly healing into the hospital from pneumonia and the virus. Victor says, prayer request for my family to be closer to God. Patty, my aunt and uncle in Florida who are still sick with COVID. Keep Looking Up says, unspoken prayers for me and my boyfriend, please and thank you. Me and God says, please pray for my unsaved family members and that they may have a change of heart and seek and find the Lord our Savior. Lori says, Keep Looking Up says, can I ask for a very special prayer, please? I am going to confess I still drink off and on, but I'm asking God to help me, and my boyfriend drinks and smokes pot. That's not good. Yelling at me to get the jab, I really need prayer. And we will pray, absolutely. Just remember, Proverbs 20, verse 1, just in case you're ever confused. Should a Christian drink alcohol? The Bible has the answer. Don't take my opinion. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The Bible says that wine is a mocker. Don't drink it. You don't have, don't even mess around with it. Wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. It's going to deceive you. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Guest S says, please pray that I can find a better job. And prayers for everyone that's unsaved and for my family. We lost 2 family members recently. Shauna says, please pray for my mother. Her name is Helen. She has a leaky heart valve. She feels like her heart is failing. Shauna, pray for me. I am weary of waiting for the rapture. Karen says, I have not heard from Beth since yesterday morning. Last I heard was that her oxygen needs are too many to consider going home, and she feels like she is in a nightmare. I have sent her an email in hopes that her husband will reply. Please continue to pray for her. And absolutely. Also, we need to pray for Harmon's son, Michael, who is battling pancreatic cancer. Beth in the ICU with COVID. Amanda for reconciliation in Pennsylvania. Lori D in Pennsylvania. God knows the need there. Jacqueline in New Mexico, a very, very specific need. She is involved in a court situation regarding her children, and she needs the Lord to step in and to rule and overrule in her situation. So we lift up Jacqueline and her very specific prayer request for a good report in court. We're going to pray for Chelsea on the West Coast, Cheryl D. in the hospital with COVID. That's Lori Ann's friend, Cheryl D. We're praying for Andy Broski and his family battling COVID, Pastor Daniel King and his family dealing with COVID, and many members of Bible Baptist Church here in St. Augustine dealing with COVID. But it's encouraging at the very least that they're dealing with it at home and they're not dealing with it at the hospital. And that to me is very encouraging. And we're going to pray that God give everybody at Bible Baptist a healing. Patty, diagnosed with a brain tumor. Please, please, please pray for Patty. Hal is needing a lung transplant. The hospital is telling him he will need the vaccine before they are willing to do the operation. God really needs to do something there. Mark Bennett's wife, Anita, and son, Kingsley. Mark Bennett went home to be with the Lord 2 weeks ago. And we're going to lift up his wife, Anita, and son, Kingsley. Shauna's dad, who is battling stage 4 cancer. Robin, who is battling COVID. Michael from Ohio is asking prayers for his friends, Jamie's wife, who is currently in the ICU and not doing good. Jeanette and her parents' health. Pastor John Ree in the Philippines. And Malia McLean. Prayers for health and protection from COVID. I think that is all the prayer requests. Mike Hensel says, please pray for my cousin in New Mexico who feels exhausted from keeping up with the craziness in this world. She is a fellow Christian and believer. Chris says, pray for Tina. Her family is unsaved. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We come before you, Lord, and we ask you to work and move in a mighty way. And all these prayer requests, Lord, some really serious, hardcore, real deal prayer requests. And we ask you to work. We ask you to move, God, as only you can. Work and move, Father God, and help in this situation. Everyone who is struggling with COVID, we ask, Lord, that you give them a healing. But it's so much more than COVID. It's heart disease and cancer and accidents and just so many things. And we lift up everybody, God, that we mentioned tonight, and for the unspoken prayers that are just inside our hearts. You can hear those prayers and answer those prayers too, God. We ask you to work and move in a mighty way. And Father, I thank you, God, for all these that you've gathered. I thank you for the praise reports and the prayers. And we rejoice with those who rejoice, and we weep with those who weep. We ask you, God, to work and move as only you can and to order and reorder everything that's going on. Mike in the chat room said, help, Lord. And sometimes that's all that we can do is just say, help, Lord. Psalm 12, verse 1, help, Lord, for the godly man seeketh, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. And without you, God, we're not going to make it. But with you, we make it all the way home. Be with us tonight, Lord, as we do this Bible study program. Hear the prayers of our hearts and all these prayers, these dozens of prayers that we've mentioned tonight. And work and move as only you can, God. Help, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you and we commit this time to you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Very, very glad that you're here. Tonight we're doing an open forum question and answer. And we have a bunch of questions from last time that we were never able to get to. And we're going to take a shot at answering those questions. Here's a good question. Turn to Romans 11, verse 25. Romans 11, verse 25. Does God have a set number of saved individuals that will accept Jesus as Lord, and when that number is reached, whatever that number is, then is it time to fly? Is it time for the rapture? So let's go to Romans 11:25, and this is something that we hear all the time. When the last person that God's waiting to get saved gets saved, then the rapture will happen. Now, let's take a look and see if that's a doctrinal position. Romans 11:25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. That's Romans 11, 25 through 27. Now, we're going to rightly divide what I just read to you. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That is the command by our apostle Paul to not only study the Bible, but to rightly divide the Bible. Now, we have two different dispensations being mentioned in Romans 11, verses 25 through 27. And so I want to point out something to you that most of the Bible commentators and the preachers, they miss. These three verses are not completely church age verses. For example, look at Romans 11:26. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Let me ask you a question. When does the deliverer come out of the heavenly Zion? Do you have any idea when that takes place? Paul says that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. But guess what? The church is made up of Jews and Gentiles. The born-again church is not Gentile only. Granted, there's more Gentiles than Jews. But the body of Christ is Jews and Gentiles in one body. So, these verses in Romans 11, 25 through 27, are not talking exclusively about the church or the church age. How do I know that? Because in verse 26 and verse 27, Paul is talking about, Karen just said it, second coming. Good for you, Karen. The Apostle Paul in verses 26 and 27 is talking about the second coming. The church is not on earth when Jesus returns. The church returns with Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 19. So, is it true, as a lot of the Bible commentators say, that when the last Gentile gets saved, the rapture's going to happen? That's not Bible doctrine. I don't see that. And it's certainly not here in these verses. Now, let me show you something else about the Gentiles. And again, this is a verse that just about every Bible commentator overlooks. Turn to Revelation chapter 11. Turn to Revelation chapter 11. Look at verses 1, 2, and 3. Revelation 11, verses 1, 2, and 3. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court, which is without the temple, leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. We're in the tribulation here. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. So do you see what's happening here? Now go back to Romans chapter 11, verse 25. I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That's not talking about the rapture at all. That's not even talking about the church. That's talking about the Jews in the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, doesn't that blow your mind? If you've been saved for 40 years, you've been hearing for 40 years that Romans 11:25, the last Gentile to get saved, then you have the rapture. And that's not even in the passage. Paul is talking about the Jews coming to faith in Jesus Christ during the time of Jacob's trouble. So, to answer the question, Mike Sherlock's question, great question. Does God have a set number of saved individuals? Well, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. I mean, if you're God and you know the end from the beginning and he's omniscient, he knows everything, he's omnipresent, he's everywhere. Does God know who the last person to get saved will be? Yeah, absolutely he does. Is he waiting for that? Well, maybe. But that's not what Romans chapter 11 says. And I hope I was able to clear that up for you. Romans 11, 25 through 27 is talking about the Jewish people who will finally come to faith. And you can read about this in Zechariah 14. You can read about this in Habakkuk and Amos and Jeremiah and Daniel. You can read about it in Isaiah. You can read about it in Revelation. You can read about it all over the place. That the Jews do not get saved until Jesus returns. And that's what you get a little bit of a appetizer of in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Revelation 1, 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, second coming. And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. Who pierced him? The Jews called for it, and the Romans did it. And they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Now, the Bible says that when Jesus returns, he is going to set up his kingdom in Jerusalem. And the Jewish people are going to finally be in a right relationship with their Creator. Finally. During the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Zechariah chapter 8. Verses 20 through 23. Zechariah chapter 8, verses 20 through 23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people, and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, Let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. I said all that to say this. Zechariah 8:23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, In those days it shall come to pass that 10 men, number 10 is the, that number is associated with Gentiles. It shall come to pass in those days that 10 men shall take hold out of all the languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. And that's how it's going to be in the millennial kingdom. Jews are going to be on top. People say to me all the time, the Jewish people don't like Christians, and they especially don't like you. And yet, you're constantly telling people to pray for Israel. You're constantly telling people to pray for the Jewish people. And people ask me all the time, why do you do that when you know they hate you? Well, because I'm a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, and my Savior is a Jew. And Genesis 12:3, which cuts through every dispensation, Genesis 12:3 is absolutely still in effect. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Abraham is prophesying about the time that Zechariah in chapter 8 that I just read to you, when the Jews are going to be on top. Now, it's hard to believe. There's many, many Christians that don't like Jewish people. And you're going to pay for that at the judgment seat of Christ. No question about it. Genesis 12:3 is absolutely still in effect. I bless the Jewish people, and I support the nation of Israel for one reason. Because the Jews are God's people, and Israel and Jerusalem is God's holy land. And you don't need any other reason than those reasons. The Jews are God's people, and Israel, with its capital of Jerusalem, is God's land. The Bible says about Jerusalem that it is the place where God has placed his name. Why do you think that Satan wants it so badly? Such a tiny little city. And yet in Luke chapter 21, it's the prize. Luke 21:20. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. That's the red rock city of Sela Petra. And let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter therein too. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Great question, Mike Sherlock. Thank you so much for asking it. When we come back, we're just getting started. We set the table. We've prayed. We've gotten before the Lord. We have his book open, and we're taking questions. Glad you're with us.
My sins are
Please keep the Broski family in your prayers. That's who was just singing there in that song. Please keep the Broski family in your prayers. Many of them, six of them, have COVID. And please pray for the rest of the people in Bible Baptist Church here in St. Augustine, Florida, that God would just rule and overrule and give a victory. We need some victories. And we're going to pray these people right on through and right back to health. And speaking of praise reports, I want to let everybody know, about a month or so ago, we told you that we wanted to support a church in the Philippines run by Pastor John Ree Caballero. And we have been supplying them with King James Bibles and gospel tracts, and we've really gotten to learn a little bit about their ministry down there in Panabo City in the Philippines. And I said that I wanted to, if it were possible, to get him on the radio and to support him. And they have a little church with about 30 or 40 people. And Pastor John Ree is a real, real, real deal pastor. And he's giving his all to his ministry. And I said that I wanted to get him on the radio. You guys responded. And we sent him some funds today that will get him on the radio and keep him broadcasting for the next year. And that's because you guys give. That's because you guys are generous. That's because you guys are responding to these needs. And so we've sent them money that's going to help them get new chairs for their sanctuary. They're going to get new shirts for their street preaching team. They're going to be able to pay the electric bill for their church. And Pastor John Ree is going to be able to broadcast the gospel on Filipino radio for the next year. And we sent them those funds earlier this afternoon. So I've always told you guys, the more you give, the more we're going to do. And that's a promise. I mean that with all my heart. And I am so excited. And he, Pastor John Ree, is absolutely bouncing off the walls, because now he's going to be able to expand his ministry to the degree that he had been praying, God, enlarge my coast, expand my border, help me, God. And God is helping him through you, through us, through the ministry of Now the End Begins. So I want to thank you for that. Because you guys give, we can do this stuff. I also want to tell you that today, 75 free Bibles going out from just last week. 75 orders for King James Study Bibles, gospel tracts from people not just in America, but around the world. And we're sending out 75 packages of Bibles from just last week. And that's because you guys support this ministry. So the more you give, the more we'll be able to do. And I'm excited to see how far the Lord's going to take it. Very, very exciting. Very, very exciting. All right, let's get back to the Bible study. I had a question. I got all excited with the praise reports, and now I can't find the question. Hold on a second. I'll find it. Here it is. Bella has a question. Bella has a question. What do I think about Amos chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, in regards to the timing of the end times, the rapture, and when the time of Jacob's trouble will begin? So Bella's question is about Amos chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, in regards to the end times. So turn to Amos chapter 8, and let's read verses 1, 2, and 3. Amos chapter 8, verses 1, 2, and 3. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not pass them by any more. I will not again pass by them any more. And the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. So Bella's asking a question. What do those verses have to do with the time of Jacob's trouble? Now, they have nothing to do with the rapture. They have nothing to do with the church age. But it is talking about a time when the temple is going to be rebuilt, but God is not going to be part of that temple. And that blows a lot of people's minds when they understand that God was in the first temple and God was in the second temple, but somebody else is going to be in the third temple, and it's not God. The third temple is going to be the temple that Antichrist is going to take over, and I'm going to show you the verses in just a moment. The third temple is going to be the temple that the Antichrist is going to take control of, and it's going to be a very, very scary thing. Back in 2015, we wrote an article called What the Bible Has to Say About the Coming Third Temple in Israel Will Shock You to Your Core. A lot of people don't know that the third temple is going to be the temple of Antichrist. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Well, actually, let's start in Daniel 9:27. The question from Bella is, what about those verses in Amos chapter 8, verses 1, 2, and 3? Daniel 9:27 says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall, 3.5 years later, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Talking about the day when the Antichrist is going to confirm the Abraham Accords with Israel. Now turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, starting in verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. What is Jesus saying in Matthew chapter 24? He says, when you see Antichrist, and he's going to stand up, and he's going to do something in the rebuilt Jewish temple, you better run. That's literally what he's saying. And you can read about this flight that the Jews are going to take all through Revelation chapter 12, where the dragon sends a flood after the woman who was Israel. And God is going to keep the Jewish people safe in a place called Sela Petra for a time, times, and half a time. So Amos chapter 8 is talking about the tribulation, where the Jewish people are going to be cast out by God. And that's what Amos is talking about. Then the Lord said unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. But because he has a covenant with Abraham, going all the way back to Genesis chapter 15, he saves a remnant of those Jews, and he brings them through the fire. And the Bible says that he is going to bring a remnant And it's going to be a literal fire that he brings them through. One of the greatest Old Testament books about the time of Jacob's trouble is the book of Zechariah. And in Zechariah chapter 13, verses 7 through 9, Zechariah 13, 7 through 9, this is what Amos was referring to. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered, and I will turn my hands upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." That's what's happening in Amos chapter 8. Turn to Amos chapter 1, and we'll put a nice little bow on this for you. Amos chapter 1, the words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. Now look at the very next verse. "And he said, the Lord will roar from Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherd shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither." What time period is Amos really talking about? Well, turn to Joel chapter 3. If you're confused about the time period of Amos, there is no confusion about the time period of Joel. And look at what Joel 3:16 says. It's exactly what Amos 1:2 says. "The Lord also shall roar out of Zion, and shall utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel." What time period is Amos prophetically talking about? The same time period that Joel 3:16 is talking about, the same time period that Zechariah 8 and Zechariah 13 and Isaiah 66 and Revelation 19, it's all talking about the same period of time. The time of Jacob's trouble leading into the great tribulation. So, this is one of the things that you get from rightly dividing the Bible. A lot of people will look at the Bible, and when you don't rightly divide, you are forced to kind of mash everything together. If you don't rightly divide, you look at what happened to the Jewish people in the book of Daniel. Turn to Daniel 12. When I talk with somebody who's a preterist, which means that they believe that all Bible prophecy has already been fulfilled, and all we're waiting for is just one day where everything is going to end, a preterist does not believe in a literal thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. A preterist does not believe in a real tribulation. The preterist certainly does not believe in a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And a preterist believes that everything has already been fulfilled. So a preterist will look at the book of Daniel, and all they will see is the Babylonian captivity of the Jewish people. And they'll say, well, that was done 2,500 years ago. Nothing there to look at. Case closed. But it's not case closed. Look at Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble," Matthew 24, such as was never since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, and every one that shall be found written in the book. So right here in Daniel 12:1, you have Matthew 24, quoting Jesus. Michael says to Daniel that there shall be a time of trouble such as was never since there was a nation, even to that same time. Does that sound familiar to you? Keep your finger in Daniel chapter 12 and turn to Matthew chapter 24. And what does Jesus say? Jesus says that except those days should be shortened, that no flesh should be saved. Why? For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be. What does Michael say in Daniel 12:1? And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. So, if you're a preterist, you can't see, because your eyes are blinded, you can't see that Daniel 12:1 and Matthew 24 are talking about exactly the same thing. And in Daniel, it was yet future. And in Matthew 24, it was yet future, and here we are in 2021, and it remains yet future, and it will happen after the rapture. Daniel 12:2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, pay attention. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So in Daniel 12:4, he has been given by Michael and Gabriel, he has been given a book very much like the book of Revelation. And in this book, in Daniel chapter 12, this is a book that contains all the prophecies that are going to happen in the time of Jacob's trouble. And then Daniel is told to seal the book, which means close it up. Now, what do you see when you get to Revelation chapter 5? Revelation chapter 5, comparing it to Daniel 12:4. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. There's Daniel's book. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look upon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereupon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, that is Jesus, Yeshua, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Now, I find it interesting that Daniel is told to close his book, Daniel 12:4, 1 plus 2 plus 4 is 7. Just a little interesting fact for you there. But in Daniel chapter 12, the book that he is told to close is the book that's being opened in Revelation chapter 5. So, do you see how important that is? I gave you that example because Bella had asked about Amos chapter 8. And most people just skip over little books like Amos because they think that they don't contain much information. But when you compare scripture with scripture, what do you see in the book of Amos? You see the prophecies of Joel. You see the day of the Lord. You see the time of the great tribulation. It's all through the book of Amos and Habakkuk and Joel and Zephaniah, Zechariah, Obadiah. It's not just in Jeremiah and Isaiah and Daniel, the major prophets. If you want a real blessing sometime, if you want a real blessing, do a Bible study of the minor prophets, the little guys, the ones who don't get much attention. And I'll tell you something. Those minor prophets, they pack a punch. No question about it. Those minor prophets, they absolutely pack a punch. All right, we have a few more questions. Dustin says, can we discuss Isaiah chapter 26, verses 9 through 21? Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 26, and let's start in verse 9 and see what we got. Isaiah chapter 26, starting in verse 9. With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me I will seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. All right, right off the bat, Jacob's trouble. Verse 10, let favor be shewed to the wicked, yet he will not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly and not behold the majesty of the Lord. When will people behold the majesty of the Lord? At the second coming. Verse 11, Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only we will make mention of thy name. Talking about the time period when, very briefly, the Jewish people will follow Antichrist. Verse 14, they are dead, they shall not live, they are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation, thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Here we are, like as a woman with child, that draweth near the time of her delivery, is in pain, and crieth out in her pangs. So have we been in thy sight, O Lord. What does that remind you of? Isaiah 26:17. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery, is in pain, and crieth out in her pangs. Well, that reminds me of 1 Thessalonians 5:3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. That reminds me of Joel chapter 30. Not Joel, Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 5 through 7. Joel 30:5-7. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. What does Isaiah 26:17 say? Like as a woman with child, that draweth near the time of her delivery, is in pain and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. Look down in verse 20. 20 and 21. Isaiah 26, 20 and 21. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be passed, overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth. The earth shall also disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. What is Isaiah talking about? Only one thing is possible. He is talking about the time of Jacob's trouble going into the time of the great tribulation. And when we rightly divide and we compare scripture with scripture, that's how you know that you've rightly divided correctly. If you've rightly divided correctly, you will get your confirmation when you compare scripture with scripture. That's why when I was reading these verses to you from Isaiah 26, we went to 1 Thessalonians 5, we went to Jeremiah chapter 30, 5 through 7, and we got the confirmation that our rightly dividing was indeed correct. And with that, we have to take our last break of the night. We'll be right back in a few minutes, and we have a lot more questions to answer, so please stay with us. We'll be right back.
I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all God's been good. Times replay, and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt his arms around me as I faced my greatest fears. You see, I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt. As his grace rolled down upon me, undeserved. For God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. For God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, and His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is. But the best way that I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel so blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good.
Amen. And we're back. We're back. I was told during the break that we're having some crackling with the microphone. I don't hear it, and I'm too deep into the show to restart it and fix it, so please just bear with me, and I will try my best to have it resolved by Friday. It's always something that pops up, so I very much appreciate your prayers. All right, we have a few more questions. Here's a good question from Jennifer. Jennifer says, does the time of Jacob's trouble lead into the tribulation, or is the tribulation the same as the time of Jacob's trouble? That's a really good question, and that's something that confuses a lot of people. What's the deal with the time of Jacob's trouble and the great tribulation? Now, we know this. We know... turn to Daniel 9:27. Turn to Daniel 9:27. And this is what we read. We read this verse earlier. Daniel 9:27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's 7 years. And in the midst of the week, half of seven is 3.5. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. For the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So, when we look at Daniel 9:27, Jeremiah chapter 30, 1 Thessalonians 5:3, we understand that the time of Jacob's trouble is a 7-year period. We also understand that the Great Tribulation is for a 3.5-year period. Look in Daniel 12:7. It gives you the length of the tribulation. Daniel 12:7. And I heard the man clothed in linen which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever that it shall be for a time, times, and an half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. So, how long of a time period is time, times, and a half? Well, you know the answer to that. It is 3.5 years. That's how long that time period is. So, to answer Jennifer's question, we understand that the time of Jacob's trouble, which begins immediately after the pre-tribulation rapture of the church takes place, and the time of Jacob's trouble is going to last for 7 years. The first 3.5 years of the time of Jacob's trouble is going to be that time of false peace and safety. It's going to be the strong delusion from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. The strong delusion that Antichrist is a good guy. And so for the first 3.5 years, there is going to be the perception of peace and safety, but it's all going to be a lie. 1 Thessalonians 5:3, and when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. That's the start of the great tribulation, which is the second 3.5 years of the time of Jacob's trouble. Does that make sense? The time of Jacob's trouble is a 7-year period. The last 3.5 years of that 7-year period is the Great Tribulation. So, when Jennifer says, does the time of Jacob's trouble lead into the tribulation? No. The time of Jacob's trouble contains the Great Tribulation in the last half, and the first half is false peace and false safety. Excellent question. A lot of people get very, very confused by that. Mimi has a question. Mimi says, you taught me to compare scripture with scripture. And when I did that, I noticed that Israel was called the harlot and that passages in Revelation regarding Mystery Babylon match passages in Jeremiah, such as the verse that says that the sound of the bride and the bridegroom will no more be heard in thee. These and other passages match. So, Mimi's question, could unrepentant Israel be Mystery Babylon? And a remnant of believers will come out of the harlot when Christ returns to save her. She says, thank you and sorry for the long question. Well, it's a good question. So let's start with the last part of her question first. Mimi wants to know, could a remnant of believers come out of the harlot when Jesus Christ returns? The answer is no. And I'll show you why. Turn to Revelation 18. Revelation 18 shows you the destruction of the great harlot. And when we see the destruction, we are also going to have the identity. Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. And then when you read farther down in the passage, what do we see? God destroys Mystery Babylon. So we know that Mystery Babylon cannot be Israel. Revelation 18 says, verse 17, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the companies and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? Well, what city is this? Turn to Revelation 17. And we're going to see a harlot. Revelation 17, verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, and when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Years ago, Dave Hunt wrote a really, really good book called A Woman Rides the Beast. And if you've never read a copy of this book, I urge you to go to our website, BibleBeliever.com. That's our online bookstore. And you can get yourself a copy of A Woman Rides the Beast. And when you read A Woman Rides the Beast, you see a very excellent presentation as to who Babylon the Great is in Revelation 17 and 18. It is absolutely the Catholic Church. There is no question about it. There is only one entity on the face of this earth that has spent 2,000 years shedding the blood of the saints. And that is none other than the Roman Catholic Church. What are their colors? Well, Revelation 17 tells you it is purple and scarlet. When you look at the Vatican, when you look at the College of Cardinals, when you look at the Pope, when you look at the Roman Catholic Church, what do you see? You see purple and scarlet every which way you turn. And when you read Revelation 17, if you know anything at all about the Roman Catholic Church, I can remember when I first started to study the Bible after I got saved back in 1991. And I would get so mad because I didn't know anything about Bible prophecy. And yet, when I read passages like Revelation 17, I'm like, wow, that's the Catholic Church that I just got saved out of. And if you're a Roman Catholic like Michael that got saved, and you read Revelation 17, you'll see the Roman Catholic Church all over that thing. Jan is asking, what about that article that you did that shows that Vatican building that's in the shape of a snake? And we kind of broke this story back in 2018, and we showed you a place called the Vatican Papal Audience Hall. And this was something that was built a number of years ago at the Vatican, and it has a special throne and a special seat. Man, I'm like talking Bible prophecy and I'm not even trying to. And this building is in the shape of a snake. The outside looks like a snake's head. The inside looks like a snake's head. And when the Pope sits on his scary looking throne and he is speaking to his people, he is actually speaking from the mouth of a serpent. And this is something that the Roman Catholic Church, they hired their own architects. This is what they came up with. This is what made the most sense to them. To build a building for the Pope to speak from the mouth of a serpent, talking about Catholic doctrine. You can't really get much more biblical than that. So when you understand these things and you read Revelation 17, Revelation 18, Mimi was wondering, could the harlot be the nation of Israel? I get people all the time, they think that America is Mystery Babylon. America cannot be Mystery Babylon because America doesn't shed the bloods of the saints and the prophets. Only the Catholic Church has done that. There is only one entity that could possibly fulfill Revelation 17 and Revelation 18. Revelation 17 shows you the Roman Catholic Church, which is the religious arm. And Revelation 18 shows you the Vatican and the Holy City, which is the political arm. When I used to read Revelation 17 and 18, I would get a little confused because it seemed to me like those two passages, those two chapters, were talking about a religious entity and a political entity. And then I realized the Roman Catholic Church is the religious entity. But every pope is the king over the Holy See, the Vatican State. And that's your political side of it. And that's exactly what you see in Revelation 17, the Catholic Church. Revelation 18, the Vatican. KJB Believer has a question. Could you explain Revelation 21, verse 4? Let's turn there. KJV Believer says, could you please explain why all tears of people being wiped away after New Jerusalem comes out of heaven in Revelation 21, verse 4? So let's turn to Revelation 21, verse 4, and see if we can answer the question for KJV Believer. Now, in Revelation 19, we have the second coming. In Revelation chapter 20, you have the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. And then you have the great white throne judgment. And then in Revelation 21, we're going to read verses 1 through 4. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, this is 2 Peter chapter 3. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's John 14. Where Jesus says that I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. John 14 is talking about New Jerusalem. That's the mansion complex where we're going to live. Verse 3 says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So, what is happening in these first four verses? Well, you've had the entire seven-year time of Jacob's trouble, which includes the Great Tribulation. You've already had that. You've had the Second Coming. You've had the restoration of the Jewish people. You've had the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. You had the Battle of Gog and Magog from Revelation chapter 20. You have the Great White Throne Judgment. And then 2 Peter chapter 3, God blows the whole thing up and destroys the earth and destroys the heaven. And he rebuilds it and he makes it new. So by the time that you get to Revelation 21, all these things are past. Everything is done. The devil has lost. The beast, the dragon, the false prophet, Satan, and all his followers are cast into the lake of fire. All of the unsaved dead have been raised to judgment. They have all been pronounced guilty, and now they experience the second death. And then all of it is burned up, and it's wiped out, and the lake of fire is kicked far, far away. And now in Revelation 21, verse 1, everything is brand new. A new heaven, not where God lives, but a new solar system, a new earth. God has destroyed the old one. Now we have a new heaven and a new earth. And then John sees that heaven, where God is now going to merge with earth, the recreated earth, where man is. And this is what Revelation 21 is showing you. Verse 3 says, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be their God. And because sin is now gone, death is now gone, everything that could break your heart is now gone. And at this point, God takes away all tears from their eyes. How does he do that? He gets rid of the devil. He gets rid of sin. He gets rid of temptation. He gets rid of death. What did Denise say earlier? That she's so discouraged because she knows four people that died of COVID today. Well, that's not just discouraging, that's heartbreaking. When my friend Mark died a couple weeks ago, I mean, I thought about that every waking moment for days and days and days. I can't imagine if three other people that I knew had died on the same day from the same thing. But Revelation 21, God wipes away all tears from their eyes, and no more death and no more sorrow. God makes everything new. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he saith unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And that's how everything wraps up. The good guys win in the end. And we have a happy ending. And just like in all the fairy tale stories that end with, "And they lived happily ever after," where do you think Hollywood gets that from? Where do you think Hollywood gets the idea that everybody lives happily ever after? From Revelation 21. God's going to make all things new. He's going to wipe away all those tears. Crying comes in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And if you're sad or depressed, or you know people that have died, or you know people that are struggling, and it's depressing, it's discouraging, it's sad, just remember the day is coming. Our light affliction is for but a moment, and it worketh a far more exceeding weight of glory. And if you're sad today, I want you to focus on Revelation chapter 21, the chapter where God wins in the end, and everybody who trusts God gets a happy ending. And with that, we've come to the end of our time for tonight. I apologize for the static on the microphone. I will try to have it fixed by Friday. Thank you so much for being part of this program. I really love my NTEB family, and I love how we pray for each other and lift each other up. Jeanette is going to be sending out all of these prayer requests when she does the notes in a little bit. If you have not signed up to receive the notes for the show, send an email to Jeanette, J-A-N-E-T-T-E, at nowtheendbegins.com. She'll put you on the list. And every time that we have these prayer requests, you will get a copy of it. And I thank you so much for being part of this program, for supporting this ministry, and for lifting each other up in prayer during these troublesome times. Remember, we win in the end. Our happy ending is coming. And God is going to make all things new. Spend some time this week in Revelation chapter 21. Spend some time. It will really, really encourage you. Thank you for tuning in, and Lord willing, we'll see you back here Friday, noon Eastern time, for another edition of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast. Good night, everybody.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Sing hallelujah. Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.